And open up your Bible. We're going to be in chapter 12. We're going to cover it today. Revelation chapter 12. I want you real quick, as we stair step up to this thing, we covered just a few verses of chapter 12 last week, but I want to kind of let it flow back through. But I want you to look back at chapter 11. Look at verse 15. This is the declaration made from the voices in heaven. Look at verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." There's the purpose of Jesus. And as a result of Jesus, he rules the world. He's taken his kingship. And he's going to rule for how long? Forever and ever. And what does he rule? The world, the earth. And so Jesus has been installed as king. Look down at verse 18 real quick. "And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and a time to reward your bondservants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth." How did the world respond to Jesus becoming king? They were enraged. And then he says, this is what's going to happen. And he gives three things. That's what the rest of the book of Revelation is going to deal off of, those three things. Now, once we have that, chapter 12, he's going to explain how Jesus took his rightful place on the throne. He's going to give this brief snapshot of history. And so we have to ask ourselves questions like, why did God's wrath come upon man? You know, why did God reward, is God rewarding his bondservants and the saints? Why is he doing that to those who fear his name? Why in the world is he judging the dead? What's up with all these wars and famines that were happening on the earth? And why weren't people on the earth responding? Those are questions. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. "A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars." What does he see? There's a woman. She's unique. This beautiful woman, she's got this crown of 12 stars in all of this. Look at verse 2. "And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth." So as he sees this woman, she's what? Pregnant. She's going to give birth to a child. Now, I want you to remember this as we go down through the rest of this. At the end of chapter 11, John sees a scene in heaven. He sees the Ark of the Covenant. He gets to see all of these things. He's looking in heaven. And so when this sign appeared in heaven with this woman, we're getting things from heaven's perspective, not man's perspective. And that's what he's explaining. Here's this glorious woman that's with child, and she's in labor. What happens? Verse 3. "Then another sign appeared again in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems." So now we've got this awesome looking dragon. Well, who is this woman and who is this dragon? Let's keep going. Verse 4. verse 4. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. How powerful. He's trying to show a comparison. He's looking in heaven, okay? Keep that in mind. He's not looking on earth. He's looking in heaven. And this dragon is so mighty and so powerful, he can sweep away a third of the stars with his tail. And she's about to give birth, and what was his purpose? To devour the child. He's showing what would a little child have before such this great, awesome dragon. What chances would a child have before this? Let's keep moving, verse 5. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. He identifies his child. Now last week we went through Psalm 2, and we saw same thing in Psalm 2. Who is the child? We're talking about Jesus. What is his purpose? What was the purpose of this child? Jesus. He is to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And so, as this picture of this great red dragon is about to devour, 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns on his head, diadems, does he get the baby? No, it is caught up to God, because that dragon knows this child is about to rule the world with a rod of iron. So if this dragon can stop that and devour the child, what would never happen? He wouldn't rule the world. If this dragon gets Jesus, the book of Revelation, the 7 seals would never be opened. He would never rule the world. That's the whole purpose. So the book would never be opened. Well, who is this woman? I told you last week, but we're going to see it here as we keep going. He's going to explain it to us, and I want to remind you one more time. It's not Mary. All right? Continue on. Verse 6. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. Notice how the control of everything is. The dragon wants to devour. He didn't get the child. And so now, after she gives birth to the child, and he's caught up to God, then what happens to the woman? She flees to the wilderness. Why there? God has prepared a place for her. And she's going to be there how long? Yes, 1260 days. Have we seen that before? Yes. Yes, we've seen it several times. 42 months, 1260 days. That's the time frame. It's not literal. It's just telling you it's a while, though. It is a while. She's out in this place in the wilderness, prepared by God. I want to give you something you need to read to tie in. 1 Kings chapter 17. And in 1 Kings 17, God has sent a famine on Israel for their ungodliness. And when he sends us, and it's a severe famine, and so there's a fellow by the name of Elijah. He prayed that it would not rain. How long do you remember? 3 years it did not rain on the earth. This was an extreme famine. Think of us today. How long would we last if the earth never received rain for 3 years? Man, that would be tough. But you know what God did? God told Elijah, I prepared a place for you by the brook, and you're to go there. And I've also prepared the ravens to come and bring you food every morning and every evening. It was all prepared by God to help Elijah. It's not unusual to see this phrase or this idea of the woman fleeing to a place that's been prepared by God. It's the same God that was back there. And he uses this same idea for this woman. And so back in chapter 11, when we saw the 42 months, 1260 days, same thing. Look at verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels waged war. And they were not strong enough. And there was no longer found a place found for them in heaven. What happened in heaven? There's a war. If John hadn't been given access to see what happens there, we would have never known this. There was this war in heaven. And this war is about to divide heaven from earth. We're going to see what that means in just a moment. There's this intense struggle. And he talks about the two opposing forces. Force one, Michael and his angels. Force two, the dragon and his angels. So there's this intense battle going on. He didn't get the male child. And the woman's taken to the wilderness, a place prepared by God. Well, let's keep going. Look at verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Who is the dragon? It is Satan. See, if you get hung up in all this earlier stuff and you start trying to figure out each and every detail, you miss the little verb is. Is. He is Satan. He tells us, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan. The devil? What's the term devil mean? Accuser. Yes. What about Satan? What's the word for Satan? What does that mean? He's an adversary. That's what his name means. He's an accuser and he's an adversary. And what is happening in heaven right now? There's a war. There's a war in all this. And the dragon, does he win? Him and his angels? No. And they don't win, he says here in verse 9. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Quick point. Don't you start thinking in any terms. I hear it all the time. This is the verse people use, that devil's a fallen angel. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about what was in heaven. He's talking about what was in heaven. And because Jesus was caught up to God, and the woman was taken to a place in the wilderness, now you've got this picture. There began this war. The war in heaven. And it was an intense war. All right, let's continue on. Let's see what all this means. Verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. Now there's a proclamation made. The war is over. The dragon has lost. Satan has lost that war. He's been thrown down to earth. And now this loud voice in heaven makes this proclamation. Because you see, Jesus is sitting on the throne. That's what the end of chapter 11 was about, is that Jesus is the Christ and he has begun to reign over the earth. That's what we're talking in all of this. And so, where does that leave heaven? Where does it leave heaven now that we know this?
Free of the devil.
Free what?
Free of the devil.
Free of the devil. That is an odd thought to us. We're going to see a little bit more in just a moment. Salvation, he says here, power, the kingdom of God, and God's king now reigns. And by the way, how much does the kingdom of God cover? The earth. Yeah. Now he's beginning to reign. And then he says here that the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. What in the world has Satan been doing? He's been accusing in heaven to God about the people. Give you a quick illustration. A couple of them, actually. You remember David? What sins did David commit?
Adultery.
Yeah, he committed adultery. He committed murder. And we can just stop right there. He deceived, lied, those things. But you know what? In those two matters, what does the law of Moses declare?
Death.
What did God do to David? You've been forgiven. Now, how could he do that? And so, you can see Satan telling God, your law says a man has to die, and you're going to forgive this man? See, there's an accusation presented. But you know what God's waiting on? Oh, that's part of it. What does God know is coming? Yeah, there's coming a king that will rule the world. Yes, sir, go ahead.
When I read these verses and I think about one of the most common attributes of ungodly people is to accuse others rather than face up to themselves.
Yes. Yes.
So they've taken on the attribute of the devil.
Right. And that's a true statement, Chuck says, because he says a lot of people take on the accusation, they accuse others, especially when they've done wrong. And yet, that is where it comes from. You know, I can't remember the verse, it's in 1 Timothy where it talks about malicious gossips. That's the term accuser. When people accuse, where do you think they're getting that from? See, they're getting it from the devil. And so, here's the devil. He doesn't get the male child, and he's accusing God before God day and night. He says here in verse 10, who accuses them before our God day and night. You ever thought about the devil being before God? Before Jesus came about? What about the book of Job? He walked right up into the presence of God. Only reason you protect him, because you don't want anything bad happen to him. What was he doing? He was accusing. Job turned his back on you. Job will, you know, speak badly of you if you just let something. See, he's an accuser. That's what he's always done. You take some time and you go read Zechariah chapter 3. In Zechariah chapter 3, there is a high priest, Joshua. And Joshua had done wrong. And you know what the devil does? He accuses Joshua before God. He's guilty, and you've got to be honest about this. He needs to be punished. All through the Old Testament, before Jesus, the devil accused everyone. That was his position. But now, all of a sudden, we have a picture of Jesus comes. He takes his rightful place on the throne of God. He begins to reign with his rod of iron. What else happens? The devil no longer has a place to accuse anyone, because God says, my son paid the price. Death has come about for their sins. And there is no longer any place found for you to roam about heaven, because you, as an accuser, can no longer accuse. And so, I want you to see the difference that Jesus really made. One of you, if you would, I got time. Someone turn over to 1 John chapter 2. And I want you to read it out loud. Read it out loud enough. It's a big room. We've got a lot of space. And I know people watching online, they won't hear it, but they can turn over and look at it too. 1 John chapter 2. Just show you when Jesus began to rule. Look at verse 1 and 2. Read them out loud. Wait a minute. 1 John.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
That's okay. That's okay.
Yep. My little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world.
What do you learn about Jesus reading those verses?
He's an advocate.
He's called by your side to plead your case. See, before Jesus took his rightful place, there was no advocate. God could forgive David back there, because guess what God knew was coming? There's an advocate. But we have to hold our minds until that day comes. And that day came, and here's Jesus, the advocate, pleading your case, my case, before the Father. And what else is he? Big word.
Propitiation.
That's a big word. He's the one that completely forgives. He is the sacrifice for your sins and mine. For all the sins of those in the Old Testament, that walk with God, Jesus is their propitiation too. And so, knowing this, where does this leave the devil? He's been thrown out of heaven. He can no longer accuse anybody because of our advocate and our propitiation. And so, if he's not in heaven, that only leaves him one place to go. He's thrown down to the earth. Verse 11. Yes.
I guess he's ruler in heaven. He's ruler of the world.
Yes.
And he can be an advocate and a ruler?
Oh, yes. He's the one that sits at the right hand of God for you and me. That's what an advocate is.
But he's still ruling with an iron.
Oh, absolutely. He rules the world with a rod of iron. He rules his people with something different. It's called love, mercy, grace. Does that make sense?
Yep.
All right. Let's continue on. Verse 11. And they, the they there being those back there that walk with God, they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. They overcame. How did they overcome? The blood of the Lamb. What else? They held to the word of God's testimony. They stayed with him. And third, they did not love their life, even to death. You know, we have a hard time with that. And you know, maybe we're not grasping the impact of who Jesus is. We stay so surface a lot of times. They won the battle. Oh, they may have lost their lives. We saw that back earlier in chapter 4 and 5, in chapter 6, really, where the souls of the saints were under the altar. They'd been killed for the testimony of God. But you know what? They didn't love their life, even if it cost their lives. And you remember what he promised them? Crown of life. What else did he promise them? You be faithful to me. How far? All the way to death. They overcame. Look at verse 12. For this reason, rejoice, heavens, and you who dwell in them. What is heaven called to do? Why are they rejoicing in heaven? There's no longer an accuser. There's no longer an accuser before God, because Jesus is the advocate, because Jesus took his place, and he's sitting on the throne of God, and he's got a rod of iron. He's going to rule this whole thing. And no one can say anything about it. But look at the rest of verse 12. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. What about the devil? Well, what about the earth? Oh, woe to the earth. Because guess who just came to visit you, came to live among you? Your devil. And what else does the devil have? Yeah, he has a short time, and he's filled with great wrath. Does this sound good for the people on earth? And it really wouldn't sound good for the people on earth if you're a child of God. Would it? Because he's been defeated. He's been defeated in heaven by Jesus. And if you're going to hold to the testimony of his word, and the devil is filled with great wrath, who do you think he's going to go after? It doesn't sound good on earth. 13. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. What's the first thing he goes after? The woman who gave birth. Who is this woman? Yeah, we're going to see. It's going to be faithful to Israel, but, and I'll show you that in just a second. But his first attack on earth, I'm going after this woman. She's the one who gave birth to that child that I didn't get to devour. That was caught up to God. Verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Verse 14, but the two wings of the great eagle, remember that great eagle that went across announcing, whoa, whoa, whoa. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she would fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So what happens to the woman? This great eagle takes her of his wings and takes her to this place that was prepared in this wilderness we saw earlier. And let me give you this one. Show you why it's Israel. Faithful Israel, not all of Israel. Back in Exodus chapter 19, when Israel was let go out of Egyptian bondage and they were going out into the wilderness, God told them that he bore the nation up on the wings of an eagle, and they flew away from harm. Now see, this book is written off of a lot of these Old Testament prophets, a lot of these Old Testament sayings. That's how Israel was pictured. You remember last week, I had given you some places, Isaiah chapter 50, I believe was one of them, that a lot of times Israel is pictured as a woman. Speaks of her as a female. That's not unusual. And so now you've got this woman, and she's being taken to this wilderness, a place prepared by God. He took her on the eagle's wings, the great eagle, and he's put her out there for one thing. What does he say? Yeah. Away from the presence of who? The serpent. And you know how long she's going to be there? Now, this is a different saying. A time, a times, and a half a time. Now, that's a different saying. But you know what? Don't let that surprise you, because here in the near future, we're going to be hitting Daniel to put some things into this. And you know what? Daniel uses the same identical phrase. Time is a year. Times is 2 years. Half a time is a half a year. So what do we have? 3.5 years, which is 42 months, which is 1,260 days. We're still keeping everything within that time frame. He says it a little different. God can do that. Jesus can do that. But he's trying to show that the woman is being taken care of. You see, when you get back to that Old Testament and you see this faithful remnant of Israel, Paul tells us about that. In Romans chapter 9, Paul speaks that here's a Jew. They're born. And when they're born as a Jew. They're born as a Jew. And so, as you're born as a Jew, you're an Israelite. But again, in Romans 9, Paul said, even though they're Jews, not all of them are of the household of Israel, but they're Jews. No, there was only a remnant that stayed faithful to God within that nation. And it was this lineage all the way back here, all the way through, that God spared. He didn't do it to the whole nation. So you have this remnant That's this woman. Because by God sparing her, when it came time to give birth to the child, the lineage came and was protected. Y'all see that? I heard that. Let's keep going. And now this child rules. The dragon, Satan, they began to go after this covenant people. That's who they want to destroy. Keep going. Look at verse 15. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. Get the picture. Get the picture. What's a dragon do? How is he going to find out where she's at? Water. I'm going to flood the place. Whatever that was. Not literal. I'm going to flood it. I'm going to flood her out. I'm going to find out who she is because I want to persecute that woman. I want that woman out of the way. So what does God do? He allows the earth drink up all the water, and they're protected. You remember back in chapter 7, he begins to talk about each tribe of Judah or each tribe of Israel. There was 144,000, not literal, but there was 144,000 out of Israel. They were faithful. So there was a number of Jews, and the devil wants to destroy them. You're talking early in the book of Acts. Because you know what the Jewish people tried to do? They killed anyone, tried to kill anyone tied to Jesus. Jewish people would turn on anybody that was converted to Jesus. The Hebrew writer tells us that. And so, God saves the woman. Can't get her. Verse 17. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. How did the dragon react to the woman being saved? He was enraged before. That's his nature. And so when he was enraged there with the woman, then what did he choose? Okay, I can't get this faithful remnant. Now who will I go after? The rest of her children. Salvation went first to whom? To the Jew. And as a result of that, who came about next? The Gentile. And so now I can't get that faithful remnant. So you know who I'm going to go after? I'm going to go after the Gentile people that have been converted to Jesus. I'm going to get some revenge one way or the other. Those who keep the commandments of God and those who hold to the testimony of Jesus. I'm going to make war with them. Oh, that's why it was so difficult in the book of Acts if we were to put it in a time frame. How much difficulties did the apostles and the first century brethren have because of Jesus? Did they have a lot? Who do you think was behind that? See, we're getting a time frame, a picture frame. And those that were held to the name of Jesus, they were persecuted. So, the nature of Jesus, the nature of the devil is what? He has one purpose, to deceive the world. And then he wants to make war with anyone tied to God. And this male child, Jesus. Now, you know what the rest of this book is fixing to explain? what all that means. We just have a quick glimpse in chapter 12. This is the history of the whole thing. I mean, we've got 17 verses here, and it covers the whole history of the coming up to the time Jesus is born, till he dies, till he takes his rightful place of the God. Then he's thrown down to the earth, and he goes after this woman. Can't get her. God spares her again, saves her. And then, I got to get the rest of the offspring. And he's enraged about all of this. Oh, and he's still enraged today. Still enraged. Questions or comments? Did we make sense of it all? Next week, clear as mud. I hope not. Next week, I'll be gone. Carrie's going to take us on over into chapter 13. And so read ahead, see what's coming. Thank you.